This webinar is called Mastering End of Year Reports, and my name is Neil Wilkins. It may well be that the tips, tools, and techniques that I'm going to share with you in this webinar will apply to all types and all forms of reporting. So whatever time of year you find yourself in, whether you're asked to do an end of month report, a quick catch up for your line manager, or a big all singing, all dancing strategic report for your overall organization, the tips and things I'm going to be sharing with you in this particular recording will be very, very specifically relevant to you. Now, I'm going to be focusing here as we go through this on the reporting from a marketer's perspective. Okay, so this fundamentally does apply to all forms and styles and types of reporting within business, but we're going to really focus in on what is important from a marketer's perspective, because that obviously is quite important because we touch on so many different parts of the business. Now, I'm going to begin with a very kind of scene setting and thematic quote here from Carly Fiorina, who was the former CEO of Hewlett Packard. Now, Carly said, "The goal is to turn data into information and information into insight." In other words, if you think that reporting is all about sharing numbers and graphs and statistics, it's a whole lot more. Okay, so this is our kind of starting point here. Yes, you do need obviously the data and the statistics and the trends and the analysis, but it's about turning that into insight. In other words, understanding really what your stakeholders, your audience really, really are looking for. They're not looking for data and information. They're looking for what does that data and information mean to me? Okay, so collecting relevant data nice and early so you don't can avoid last minute rushes and sort of gaps in the insights that you're going to be sharing, but making sure that everything is evidence based. So if you want to take the conversation or the planning in a specific direction as a result of your reporting, then make sure you collect all of the relevant data and information so that you can then turn that into insights and intelligence for the business. So it can start to make lower risk decisions. It can start to leverage opportunities that your data is throwing up. But just presenting data, things will be missed. So it's your responsibility as the owner or custodian or collector of that data to add a little bit of a theme or a context behind it. What is this data? What do these numbers really mean? And all the time, keeping your reports concise and focused. Okay, so what we're going to share with you in this particular session is how you can go about doing that. It's very, very important to keep things really focused and tight. Okay, so don't think that because you've got a lot of data that you need to share a lot of data. Keeping things really focused and prioritized is key. And we'll see that play out in some of the models I'm going to share with you. So the very first one that I want to share with you is this really quite important one, which is the data information knowledge wisdom pyramid. That's snappily titled, but the DIKW pyramid. And what this does, it emphasizes this transformation that Carly Fiorina was talking about there of data into wisdom through various stages. So if you think about it, at a base level, the data is, here's the raw fact. Okay, here's some quantifiable statistics or some numbers or some reporting. You can then give that reporting and that data meaning by turning it into information. So the example is, traffic light is red. Okay, the example here then is that south-facing traffic light on the corner of Pitt and George Streets has turned red. That gives it the meaning. So there's a context behind what you're saying, because just traffic light is red, well, that doesn't really tell you anything more than a traffic light somewhere on the planet is red. Whereas by giving a little bit more information, it gives it a meaning. So you now know the location of that red light. Then putting a broader context around it, in other words, turning that based on the knowledge that you or others around you have, you can then give it a broader context. In other words, what is this starting to really, really mean? Well, in the context of the red light on that particular street turning red, it means that the traffic light I'm driving towards has turned red. In other words, there's going to now be an impact on me. So that's the knowledge that you are now approaching that red light. And of course, then the wisdom, the application of that knowledge is, I better stop the car. So, it's kind of moving this game on from red light to red light in context to red light with a bit more information to red light, now I need to act. And this is the whole point about the DIKW pyramid. It emphasizes the transformation of data into wisdom by continually pushing forward with what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And I've got a little technique to share with you in just a moment that will help you to kind of really understand and build that into, good daily habits, if you like, as part of your reporting. So where is this kind of information, this baseline of data going to come from? Where does it all start for us? Well, gathering and organizing marketing metrics. Statisticians, the world across will say that without data, you're just another person with an opinion. And this is so true. If you think about it, anytime when you're challenged about something that you want to do, and the challenge comes in with just a very subjective opinion, but it isn't founded on any fact, it isn't given any context, you're left there with a feeling of, okay, but actually, I don't really understand, I don't really believe you because you're just kind of making it up, or, well, that's just what you think. And of course, what we're able to do here when we're doing some really high-end reporting here and really mastering reporting is to use a consistent methodology for data collection. In other words, categorizing and bringing the metrics into meaningful groups that are going to start to empower us to make some really good decisions or to draw some insights, to use our knowledge to gain wisdom from the data. So what we're doing is we're trying to put the numbers together with the stuff that we kind of know or kind of just got this kind of gut feel. And then once those things are together, once they're joined collaboratively, then they give us power. And if we can regularly update and maintain the data and really ensure that it's accurate, it's timely, it's there, and it's, very, very much an actionable thing, then what we're doing is we are fueling this process, because reporting is a process. We're fueling this process with reliability and consistency and things that will build confidence. In other words, yeah, every time I see a report from Neil, I understand that this is based on current information. He's really thought this through. He's added a little bit more context around it. So now when I sort of experience this report, I kind of understand where he's coming from. That's the sort of feeling that we need to be leaving the people who are the audience of our reports, whether it's a presentation or a written report. That's how we want to be leaving them, with that level of confidence that, oh yeah, okay, I trust the data, I trust the interpretation, and yeah, let's have a conversation about those insights because we could do something with that. So one of the business models, or the very simple criteria that you can use here, is the SMART criteria. In other words, specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. So making sure that all the metrics that you're collecting, all the data that you're assimilating, all the numbers that you're looking at are very, very goal-oriented and actionable. In other words, they're SMART. So if you know what the SMART objectives are for your marketing plan or for the wider business, then you can start then to begin to collect data that gives you insights as to how you are progressing towards those SMART goals. So your SMART data, your SMART reporting needs to align with the SMART goals of the organization. Now, if there are gaps in either your part of the equation or in the planning, in other words, if you look at the objectives and you think, well, actually, they're not really very SMART, then that's a great way of going back to whoever is the custodian of the SMART objectives and saying, guys, can we have a chat here? Because I'm not really able to report on these objectives because they're not specific or actionable or measurable or realistic or time-bound. So SMART objectives measured in with your reporting is a really key way to align what you're looking to collect and report on with where the business is going. And we'll see that play out in just a minute and how powerful that can be for all of us. So we're looking to convert these things, be they analytics, be they data, be they, captures of information, into actionable insights. And there's two words there that are really important: actionable. So the stuff that you can actually action on. This might be actually practical action. So you might be able to do it now because the processes, the systems, and the desire is there to do something with your report. Or it could be a desirable. In other words, if we were to capture this data, if we were to interpret it, if we were to report on it and see some trends, it gives us, because we've got a desire to move the game on here because we have to or we want to, it gives us an opportunity. So sometimes the actions can be future actions or desired actions. They don't have to be things that you're doing today, because last year's reporting might not be relevant today. And of course, then the insights, that's a really, really key word. And we see this played out. There are many, many quotes. If you do a search on, you know, insights and data and reporting, give me some good quotes. And you'll find that a lot of this starts to use this word insights. Chip and Dan Heath, who are authors, have said that data are just summaries of thousands of stories. Tell a few of those stories to help make the data meaningful. In other words, start to do some storytelling around what you see. Start to share how you're interpreting the information that you're collecting, how you're looking for patterns and trends. Because as soon as you start telling those stories, other people then get an opportunity to say, well, hold on a minute. How about looking at it like this? Or, well, have you thought about doing it like that? Just presenting data doesn't open up those conversations, and people will look blindly at your data and think, well, I can't challenge it because I don't really understand it. I can kind of see there's numbers and I can see there's a bit of a graph and it looks like it's going in a direction, but what is that really saying? But telling stories around how and why and where you're collecting this data allows you to enter into those dialogues. And that is so, so important. Because then you can always ask the question, why, to go beyond the surface of the data. Now, this is really, really key. I said a little bit of a while ago, I said, no, we're going to get on to a very, very simple but powerful little technique which will open up the data for you. And you can use, and this is the next little model or technique I want to share with you, the five whys technique. And it's very, very simple, but it's hugely powerful for uncovering the root cause of a problem, a challenge, a trend, an issue, or an opportunity. You just simply keep asking the question why. And if you can do it five times, as in this example here, then you have an opportunity for really getting to the root cause of something. And again, as I say, it could be a problem you're trying to solve, or it could be an opportunity. So the clear sort of, you know, action here is just to be asking the why. You know, why is that the case? Why has that happened? Why is that data, that number? You know, why is it? Well, it's because of this. Well, why is it because of this? Well, because we do this. Well, why do we do this? And you just continually explore the why. If you just keep asking why, you will be astounded how quickly and how seamlessly you can uncover the meaning behind the data. This is not rocket science at all, but so few people do it. So few people really are willing and open to drilling down into something that is so profoundly helpful for then drawing the inferences from the data that you're seeing. And that's the key here in uncovering the insights. So super simple, you just got to commit to doing it. And then if you can apply that to all of the kind of things that you're doing, basically system improvements, process improvements, interactions with colleagues, things when things get a little bit awkward at work, you know, all of these things, the five whys technique can actually help you to get a deep understanding of actually what's going on. So then where can you take that? Well, the next stage is obviously in creating some form of report. Now, interestingly, Steve Jobs was very, very, very passionate about sharing of information, sharing of reports, sharing of data, sharing of opportunities. And he would always, you know, sort of be talking about this from a design perspective. And he would be saying things like, design isn't just what it looks and feels like. Design is how it works. And you can apply that very, very specifically in the art of mastering report writing and report creation, because it isn't just about the numbers and the data. It's actually about how the audience can absorb, can understand, can contextualize, can make personal to themselves the data that you're sharing. So, of course, we can use visual aids like charts and graphs to give us clarity. Clearly, we want to keep things uncluttered. So, we want to make the design of however we decide we want to report it. And there's no right or wrong here, but clean, clear design is absolutely key. And aligning reports and their visuals with brand guidelines, again, just gives that subconscious feeling that, oh, yeah, okay. I understand this is all about us. This is all about this particular team or this particular brand in our portfolio or this particular part of our business. So making sure that stuff is nice and clean and simple. And also, we can start to understand the visual perception. Now, you might have a particular style of reporting that works for you. But of course, we're marketers, so we need to be thinking, but what about the style for our audience? And if we can get this right, and there's a lovely, lovely technique which you can play around with and just sense and watch and observe the differences in your reporting based on the different styles, Gestalt's Principles of Visual Perception. Look this one up, it's really key. Gestalt's Principles of Visual Perception. Some people like data and information and intelligence and insights reported in very specific ways. So it may well be that you want to cluster or bundle certain types of data or information or intelligence that you want to share. It could be that you're looking to bind together, in other words, similar pieces of data, because they start to tell a story. They start to contextualize because the linkages in the data. You might want to put, as Gestalt describes, a little enclosure around certain parts of data to show that not everything applies to this particular piece of insight, but where I've taken this judgment from is this piece, and this piece. It could be that you're looking for some kind of continuity. In other words, giving the audience something that gives just inspires that, hey guys, we're making progress. So some form of graphical representation. And of course, we often see that in sales numbers and sales reporting, where the graph typically is on the upside and all sales are increasing and everything's going well. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. If you want to be hard hitting, show a graph that is declining. You know, if you want to stimulate those conversations, it does not always have to be good news. Remember your storytelling, remember the context, remember where you're trying to take this smart reporting. It is back into seeing if you are achieving the smart objectives. And if you're not, despite best endeavors, report it and make sure it's really hard hitting. The one I particularly like is Gestalt's connection principle, which is basically looking for a lot of different but similarly connected pieces of information or intelligence and grouping them together, again, as part of the storytelling. So if we've done a deep dive into why this particular number has declined over the last 6 months, well, why is that? Well, this particular activity is connected to this. And look, this one has decreased too. But look at this external piece of data. This might give us an indication as to why those numbers are down. So connecting information and insights and presenting it back in that way, again, very, very visually, helps the audience to understand and perceive the storytelling that you're doing. So have a little play with different forms of this. Maybe you try it over the next 3 months if you're doing a monthly reporting. We're talking here about end of year reports, but this stuff applies anytime you want to write a report. So have a little play, maybe do one form this month and try a different one next month and just see how the conversation goes. See how people like or don't like, understand or don't understand the reporting that you're doing. And of course, what we're doing here is we're highlighting successes and we're addressing improvement opportunities. There's a lovely quote from Sir Winston Churchill who said, "Success is not final, failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." I mean, what an inspiration in terms of it doesn't really matter whether you're on the upside or the downside, you can just carry on. And it's having the courage to carry on, you know, reap the successes that you have, but know that everything goes in cycles. So making sure that you're preparing for tomorrow whilst it's all going well, because a cycle would say tomorrow might be a little bit different. So celebrate those successes, obviously, with concrete examples, and frame improvements as opportunities, not just challenges. Try again, using the why technique to just kind of frame those things that Improvement opportunities that you have are not problems necessarily. Well, they could be in the short term, but by addressing them as opportunities, then they become things that may be able to give you a competitive advantage. And of course, then putting in place, particularly if you're reporting to decision makers, some form of clear action plan for addressing these areas of improvement, be they an upside or a downside. And if you present these, the next little model is, again, a very simple one, which you'll be very aware of. But remember, you can use this in your reporting as well, is the SWOT analysis, because, of course, that offers you a balanced view of both positive achievements and potential areas for improvement. So strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. If you're coupling and combining pieces of data or information and you want to present them in a way that gives people choices in their decision making looking forward, then a SWOT analysis can be a very, very powerful way of doing that. And I often find that's a great way then of just allowing people to sit back for a moment, reflect, and then prioritize based on all of the options and not just make those kind of knee-jerk reactions to the things that they could potentially do going forward. And of course, all of this comes into things like creating some templates and thinking about the resources that we have available for ourselves. It is about doing the right things and it is about being super efficient. I mean, it really is. So there will be templates that you can find. You can search out some templates, you know, and these will save you time and ensure consistency in your reporting, because people like to see consistent reporting, because then each time they see it, be it monthly, it might be even weekly, but certainly quarterly or annually, if they can see that information is being presented to them subconsciously, it allows them to buy into that information and that intelligence and then settle into it so they can start to understand the patterns that they're identifying themselves. And of course, you can then use as well external resources like trend reports and things like that to show how your reporting stacks up to an external context or the environment or the market or the sector that you're addressing. And then really what we're going to need to do is think about how can we prioritize, because we probably only have a certain amount of attention, if you like, in our audience. So if we don't have hours and hours and hours for people to sit through our reports, probably we're talking a few minutes here, we need to then use things like the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, to help us in prioritizing things that will have the most significant impact. And what we'll need to do here, 80-20 rule, is basically that 80% of the value of the things you're recommending will come from 20% of the things. 80% of the revenue that you do in your business comes from 20% of your customers. 80% of the value that you provide as a marketer comes from 20% of the things that you do. Just do a little bit of analysis and see that that's correct. It doesn't matter how you apply the Pareto principle. It just works. So when you're doing your reporting, remember, no matter what you want to share, remember that 80% of the impact of your messages is only going to come from 20% of the things that you share. So you've got to be really precise and really focused and targeted to make sure those 20% of things get through to the audience, because that's where the big difference is going to come from. And the important thing to remember here is that, you know, you are reporting critical marketing metrics. So what gets measured gets improved. Peter Drucker, the famous management consultant, said this: what gets measured gets improved. You know, identify metrics that will directly align with what is going on in your business, what you need to know, what you should be knowing. Ensure that metrics obviously are measurable, as we've just seen, and reliable and relevant, and make sure that you're constantly reviewing and updating them to reflect the changes in the needs of your business. Now, that's key. And the reason that's key is because it's very, very easy for marketing, when it's doing its reporting, to just focus on marketing stuff. And by doing that, you can become less and less relevant to the organization. You think you're doing great reporting. From a marketing perspective, you possibly are. But looking more broadly for the rest of the organization, they are interested in their own KPIs, their own key performance indicators. So focus in on what those things could be. And generally, the critical marketing KPIs that apply to other areas of the business are things like conversion rates, customer acquisition cost, customer lifetime value, return on investment. And of course, for most of the organization who are interested in an external face, things like social media engagement. Now, you'll have your own set, but just understanding the critical and agreeing with the rest of the business and with the management team, what are our critical marketing metrics that help the rest of the business to make good, solid, and evidence-based decisions? Because even though we're talking marketing reporting here, this is marketing reporting for the business. So it's how the business understands the value that the marketing and the activities that we do are giving to the business performance more generally. So understand your KPIs are only a subset of the broader KPIs of the business. So make sure you get those really, really aligned, if you like, with how the rest of the business is doing. And of course, this introduces the whole idea to appeal to different disciplines. Knowing your audience is the key to success. Chris Brogan's quote, which you know you may well have come across before. We know this as marketers, that we need to tailor our messages and our marketing and our content to reflect the interests of our customer. And in this case, with reporting, it's of each department. So use language and examples that resonate with each discipline. And that will be different if you're reporting to sales versus reporting to finance, for example, and highlight how marketing achievements are supporting their specific goals. So this alignment of understanding their KPIs and how your stuff is contributing to their KPIs. I'm doing some really interesting work at the moment with a client, and they're only interested in lead generation. Now, we're building a brand for this particular client, but the pointy end of the reporting is always the number of leads created as a result of the marketing. But when we report back the number of leads created, we also report in parallel to that how we're building the brand. So it's a little bit of an understanding for them that, you know, there's more going on here. We're not just feeding sales. We are feeding the sales machine. But actually what we're doing underneath that as well is we're building a brand with two or three different target audiences. And so that's a really nice mix that allows them to understand what we're doing, but also tick their boxes at the same time. And of course, by using something like stakeholder analysis, you're able to identify and address those needs and interests of the different stakeholders right across your organization. And of course, as we're saying, different disciplines will look for different things. So finance could be looking for ROI, budget utilization, cost-effective strategies, for example. Sales will be looking, as we've just mentioned there, for that example, lead generation, customer insights, maybe sales support. But HR could be looking at a completely different area here, showing how marketing improves employer branding and internal communication could be what they want to hear from you. So take a little time to really deeply think about and really, really immerse yourself in what is in it for them. Why am I reporting? Not just the stuff I can report, but the stuff that will make a true difference to the audience. And if you're thinking here, because you might be working within an agency, and I know a number of you listening to this have said, well, what about agency reporting? Because, you know, yes, I have to report internally, but I've also got to report to my clients as well. Well, you know, we must bring more than just the data. So we need to be presenting data and statistics that directly relate to the client's goals and objectives. So if we're not trying to uncover those, or maybe actually helping the client to understand what those goals and objectives could or should be, because they may well not have been through this planning process, they may not have really had high quality reporting before as a client. So maybe then we have to hold their hand through this process and work collaboratively and together to actually identify and explain the current trends that impact their business. Maybe look at, you know, proposing new steps of action that can be taken based on these insights, which are very, very data-driven. It is very hard for a client to argue back at you if you've got all the data in your hand, because you're making judgments based around solid evidence. So if you want to grow the client's business, if you want to get more business from them, because you may well be, you know, the account handler, and you may well be tasked with, well, get more business from this particular client, because look, they've got these different departments or these other campaigns that we're not working on. Then doing things in an evidence data-driven way should, in theory, build that relationship. And of course, all this stuff, again, works really nicely internally as well. These are the kinds of relationships that we need to be building before we know and before we can actually do solid reporting. And one of the things that you can use to put this into your template for reporting, either through a presentation or a report, is something like the balanced scorecard. Now, you'll know that I'm sure if you've listened to me before, you'll know that I'm a really big advocate of balanced scorecard, because it isn't just about the numbers. It's not just about the marketing. It allows you then to report performance from multiple perspectives. So you can include the customer or the client perspective. You can integrate financial measures with other key performance indicators around things like customer satisfaction, internal processes and systems, and also the people element as well, the learning and growth that comes from really solid reporting and discussions. So within the statistics here, you might look at key metrics like engagement, those typical things that we would look at there, but also balancing that in the balanced scorecard with trends. So industry trends, you know, customer behavior trends, market dynamics. There's a lot of stuff going on outside the organization that's impacting on your internal data. So making sure that you report on that too, because often organizations beat themselves up because they don't hit their numbers, whereas actually it's something that's going on in the big world and they fail to look at it. So having this holistic view is so, so key here. And then from the balanced scorecard, taking the next steps or recommending the next steps. So suggest strategies for capitalizing on the identified trends, improving weak areas, leveraging strengths for future campaigns or any other initiatives or projects. Again, in a very kind of SWOT analysis kind of way. So hopefully you can see how all these kind of little tools and techniques and approaches are kind of binding together to really help you doing your reporting in a much more effective and profitable way. But the most valuable thing you can make is a mistake. Okay, you can't learn anything from being perfect. Computer entrepreneur Adam Osborne said this. And it's so, so true. You know, the times when you identify the mistakes or the mishaps, or you're willing to report a downtrend, that's when the proper real conversations happen. If everything is on the up, everything's looking rosy, what are you going to do differently? Well, you're not. You know, you're just going to sit there and do the same thing again. So encourage feedback and questions. Encourage being challenged. Open up those conversations. You know, offer to provide additional resources and insights. You know, stress the whole idea of continual learning and improvement in your marketing reporting. So a feedback loop would really, really benefit you here. Emphasize the importance of feedback for continuous improvement and learning. In fact, maybe bind that into the process. So for everybody who receives your report or listens to your presentation at the end of the month or the quarter or the year, enable them to give you feedback, enable them to challenge one of the pieces of insight, ask for more information, ask for more data, ask for a deeper context. Maybe you get them to work with you on some of the data collection processes, because there's always, always, even with the most positive report, there's always room for improvement. So I'll leave you with three things to really focus on for the next kind of few steps that you can take. Start early and organize. You know, begin gathering data and insights well before your reporting deadline, whether that's the end of year, end of the quarter, end of the month. And then organize your findings in a structured manner. Take time with your data. Categorize all your data into relevant themes such as sales growth, customer engagement, and campaign effectiveness. And then think about the whys, because you need to think about how and why that data is what it is. Highlight, of course, the key achievements and learnings. Focus on the most impactful results and learnings from the year or the quarter or the month. And as we've said, use the appropriate visual aids and experiment with them to emphasize successes, but also candidly address areas for improvement. This is about being open and honest, because then you'll be giving, but also receiving, a balanced view of the year, the quarter, or the month's performance. And when you start to be really honest with the data, really honest with your reporting, people will start to get really honest with you. And that is the way to optimize and leverage this information and this intelligence. And of course, by tailoring the content for your audience, you know how keen I am that you do this. You know, understanding the needs and interests of your audience, you know, these are stakeholders in what you do. You know, your success relies on this stuff. It really does. So whether they're in management teams or their clients or their colleagues, customizing the report to highlight the information and intelligence that is most relevant and valuable to them, and use language and visuals that resonate with their perspectives, that is the key to the success of your reporting. So you can carry on doing it your way, but as soon as you start turning this around and viewing it back in from the way that they will be perceiving it, whether they're finance, line manager, whether they're HR, whether they're sales, whether they're, you know, senior management or a client, as soon as you take their perspective, you'll identify improvements in your reporting as much as actually the quality of the data and the insights that you produce yourself. So those would be my three takeaway areas that I would really, really strongly encourage you to focus in on. And I wish you every success. I think this is something for me that is a really, really exciting and interesting thing to be playing with. And it is something, I'm focusing here on the end of year reports because it's the time when a lot of you are going to be doing this right now. But it does apply to every single report that you do. These are typical techniques that can allow you to look good, share the successes, but also then identify, where are we taking this, guys? Where are we going to go next? And that, within reporting, is the key to ongoing business success.